It's good to see you. If you want to be turning in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, that's where we're going to be studying from just a bit. Man, it is good to be back. It's good to see you. I hear that there are several folks gone out of the country, and I know that they are being a blessing right now. As we speak, I have no doubt. So I'm grateful for that news. I'm grateful to be here. I'm thankful that you still take care of my grandparents. And thank you for being you, for doing what you do and being who you are in this community. Casey and I are really profoundly grateful for the time that we were able to be here with you and are always encouraged by folks that know you and that know the kindness and warmth of this church. So I was glad when Mark texted and asked if I would come. Didn't have to think about it. When that invitation comes, you always say yes, and we always will. So we're grateful for that. Before we start tonight, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless our time. And then we'll jump in and we'll study. Let's pray together. God, we're grateful for the opportunity that we have tonight to study around your word. We're thankful for the family here at Netherland. We're grateful for the kids that are here, for things like Vacation Bible School. And Father, as we study just a small portion of your word tonight, we pray that you would bless our time, that you would bless our efforts, that you would help us see and understand the things that we can see and that we can understand through your word. We ask your blessing in the name of Jesus, our Savior and King, and we say amen. What's the best service that you've ever had at a restaurant? What's the worst service that you've ever had at a restaurant? Is that easier to think of? Is it easier to remember the best service you've ever had or the worst service you've ever had? What makes those things, those experiences, those times so memorable? My grandma was a waitress at Shoney's, I don't know, for a long time, for years and years and years and years. And if they were still open, she probably still would be a waitress there. And so we think about service a little bit differently, and she trained all of us to think about service a little bit differently. What makes service at a restaurant really memorable one way or the other? It's an incredibly personal thing. When you feel overlooked, how do you react to that? But the truth of the matter is, the reality is, it doesn't even have to be at a restaurant. It doesn't have to be when you're eating. If you feel overlooked in any context of life, you're probably not going to respond very well to that, because it is an incredibly personal thing. Now, when you hear the word reception or the biblical word hospitality, what comes to your mind? When you hear that word, what comes to your mind? That's a word that we use with some regularity. The word hospitality is a word that we've used. But for the most part, we don't use that word in the context of the church, at least not in our time. Now, if you look up on your phone, or if you go home and look it up in the dictionary, the term hospitality, the definition for hospitality, is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. It is welcoming someone in such a way that helps them see that you think that they're a friend. That's what hospitality is. And if you think about the experiences that you've had at a restaurant, when you feel like you're the waiter or waitress's friend, you're going to tip them more, aren't you? And if you don't feel that way, you're not going to tip them as much. This word, this definition, this ideal is important. But I also want you to know that this word, this ideal, this hospitality says a great deal within the context of faith and within the context of the church. When Mark texted several weeks ago and asked if I would come tonight, I knew immediately what I wanted to talk about, because I want you to know this, and I'm not just saying this, this is not just trite, this is not just preacher speak. You all taught me this more than any group of people ever has in my life. This ideal of hospitality. And so none of this is to suggest major changes in your heart. It's just by way of reminder. In fact, my plan is to share these kinds of ideals with other people who don't have it as good as you do, who don't do this as well as the Netherlands church does. In the ancient world, both the Old Testament world and the New Testament world, hospitality was a big deal. It was a huge deal. In every culture, at different points in history, all throughout history, hospitality was a big deal. The Greeks got their view of hospitality from Zeus, who apparently was the most hospitable god among all of them. The Romans thought that if you were hospitable, it actually advanced your cause in the next life. The Egyptians believed that hospitality was so sacred, if you did not offer hospitality, you could be executed. That's how important hospitality was. Now, even those cultures, though, the Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, they're on the outer banks of the importance of hospitality for biblical folks, for Old Testament folks and New Testament folks. The reason why hospitality was so important, the reason why reception was so important, is because how spread out everything was. You can drive. If you go over to the Holy Land, you can drive from one city to the next in just a couple of hours. But back in the ancient world, you couldn't do that. You walked everywhere. And it took days to get from one place to the next place. And the only provision that you had was what you possibly could load up in your own bag and put on your own animal. And so if you had a really far trip to make, there's no way that you could carry enough provision with you to make sure that you got to where you're going. Which meant that you had to stop somewhere along the way for food and for water and for safety. Travel was dangerous. Politics in the world were dangerous. You never knew who was aligned with who. If you were a traveler, you might only come into a town once every couple of days. There wasn't baggage with wheels or those things like you see in airport that help you power walk. You know, it was a hard trip. What I want you to know is there was a lot of tension in the ancient world. There was tension created just out of necessity between travelers and between villagers. The villagers wanted to know that they were going to be taken care of. They were going to be safe. That when a traveler came into their village, that they weren't going to do something to their crops or to their water supply. But travelers needed water. And they needed safety. And so all across the ancient world, there were at least four things that were just known. It was just innate to the human experience. There were four characteristics of hospitality. There was invitation. This happened when a person would come to a city. And this would happen at a city gate, or it would happen at a well. You see this all the time in the Bible, when folks show up at a gate or are waiting by a well. Travelers would come into a city, and they would wait in one of those public spaces, and they would just sit there until somebody invited them home. And if nobody invited them home, it was a scourge on the whole city. It was a scourge for everybody who lived within the city walls for no one to have invited them home. You see this a couple of times playing out really, really poorly. David's traveling around with his mighty men, and he's not offered water at a city that he stops in, and it nearly starts a war because they need water, and nobody offered him. So invitation is a huge idea when a traveler would come and wait to be invited. Then they were screened. When Joseph in Genesis 42 realizes that he's talking to his brothers, the text says that he spoke rough to them to find out what to figure out what their intentions were. He wanted to know. If you're a teacher, you would show up at a city, they would make you give a lesson to prove that you were who you said you were. They screened you. Roman citizenship papers were huge because it would get you in anywhere in the world. You didn't lose your passport. You didn't. Then there was provision. You got invitation, you got screening, and then you got provision. Somebody would invite a traveler into their house, and they had to provide for everybody in the group. And not just the people, but the animals. And they couldn't just provide the most basic necessities. They had to provide the very best that they could offer. If you could provide it, you had to provide it. Because you wanted to be known that you opened up your pockets and opened up your home and you gave the very best to folks that were traveling. Every year at Christmas, Casey and I get Kansas City steaks mailed to our house. It's a thing that's weird with my mom's work. So we get a couple of boxes of steaks every Christmas. Filet mignon. It's the best steak you'll ever eat in your life. We cook a box on Christmas Eve. It's been our tradition for about 10 or 11 years or so. On Christmas Eve, we cook steak. That's what we do. We freeze two or three boxes of steak, and we bring those out at different points throughout the year. Do we bring those steaks out whenever anybody comes to our house? Well, of course we don't, right? There's not enough steaks. Those steaks are reserved for the most special occasions. Now, here's the deal. In the ancient world, if you had Kansas City steak, you had to cook it. Because everybody that came into your house wanted the best. And when you gave somebody the best, it became a representation of what you thought about God. Provision was a huge deal. And then there was departure. When they left, a visitor, a traveler, a guest, when they left with more than they came with. 100% of the time. And not just the people, but the animals. You filled their water jars and their bags with food. They could stay 2 days and one night. That was the custom. And after they left, you sent them away with more than they came with. This is all across the world. In most cultures throughout history, those four pieces of hospitality occurred everywhere. But in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, those rituals, those ways of showing hospitality, found a deeper meaning. There was a whole lot more on the line than just those four things. If you got your Bible, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Listen to what Moses says starting in the 17th verse. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. Invitation, screening, provision, departure, all of those things were expected everywhere all over the world. But with God's people, it went deeper than just the mechanics of showing reception and hospitality. The foundation for those mechanics for God's people went far deeper. For the world apart from faith, this was a way to be nice. This was a way to pay it forward. You're going to travel sometime, so you might as well take care of those who are traveling. But for God's people, it went way deeper than that. For Israel, hospitality, a part of the law itself in Deuteronomy chapter 10. And the reason that it was part of the law is because it was their own story. Abraham, the patriarch, was a sojourner. Literally, he was a foreigner. He was in a land that he didn't belong to. His citizenship was somewhere else. All the patriarchs of Israel were foreigners at one time or another. They were sojourners. They relied on the good grace of other people. And God used the good grace of other people to bless a nation. That's why it was in their law. So, for most in Israel, hospitality for foreigners was a response. When they took care of somebody, what they were saying is, God, thank you for doing what you've done for me. And because I am so grateful that you took care of my fathers and my forefathers, I'm going to show hospitality to other people. Because you were gracious to me, I'm going to be gracious to other people. This part of the law was a response to a God who had always taken care of his people. So to not show hospitality in the promised land always brought turmoil. To not be gracious with people or kind to people always created problems. To show hospitality in the promised land always brought blessing. Always. Your faith in God, what you really believe, is displayed by your hospitality. I think you would have a hard time finding a biblical idea practically that was more important than showing hospitality to people. I think if you read throughout Old Testament and the New Testament, you would have a very difficult time finding a more practical way to demonstrate your love of Jesus than being gracious with people, than giving people what they need, than as people left, giving them more than they came with. That's hospitality. What's the best service you've ever received at a restaurant? Why do you remember it? Because it's incredibly personal, right? If the world notices hospitality, and the world does, shouldn't God's people be the example of what hospitality is all about? I'm talking the church, y'all. Shouldn't the church be the example of what hospitality is if it's that important? The church, God's people, ought to be the place that everybody else is looking at saying, I want to learn from them what hospitality is all about. You ever been to a church that wasn't friendly? Come on, it's church, be honest. You ever been to a church that wasn't friendly? You ever been to a church that was really friendly? Why do you remember that? Because it's incredibly personal, isn't it? And I'm telling you, from a biblical perspective, when the church doesn't show the example of what hospitality is all about, the church isn't being the church. Not to the level that it should be, or to the level that it could be. We remember those times when people are friendly with us. And not just because it's a way to be nice, but because people are actually interested in helping and supporting, building relationships. The church ought to be the example of what hospitality is. I'm going to leave you with a couple of things tonight. Three things, because it's a good sermon. And then we'll be done. Hospitality reveals the gospel. Much of the time, traveling was a terrifying experience. Did you know that? Even traveling a short distance, probably for a lot of people, brought a lot of anxiety. You heard that word before, anxiety? Of course you have. Especially for women. And if there were children traveling. It was a terrifying experience. The ancient road, doesn't matter how good the road was a dangerous place to walk. Because you didn't know what lied ahead of you. You didn't know who might be waiting down the road to take what you got, or worse. So people didn't travel that much unless they had to. It's a terrifying experience. The ancient road. But you know what? That ancient road, that place where people get terrified and have all kinds and sorts of anxiety, runs through every home I've ever been in. It runs through every church I've ever been a part of, every school cafeteria I've ever visited, certainly every funeral home I've ever been in, and every spiritual conversation I've ever had. There are people with some fear or another. I got it. And you do too. Something that we're worried about up ahead that could terrify us if we thought about it, if we focused on it. And regardless of how strong sometimes we pretend to be, in those places, in those times when we think about that, some anxiety can start. The church. This church is intended to be a place where water and food and safety and provision is given. Can you imagine what it would have been like if you can put yourself there on the ancient road traveling, say for 4 days? Just pull that number out of the air. Say for 4 days you're traveling, and on that second night, when you enter in to a city, and somebody greets you warmly, invites you into their home, gives you a place to stay that's safe. What would that have been like? Can you imagine the gratitude that you would have felt? Because somebody simply said, come stay at my place. I know you got a long journey ahead. Don't know what the road looks like. But for tonight, you're going to be fine. Can you imagine the gratitude? That's what the church is. A place where people are welcomed and invited in, not just for 2 days and one night, but the church is a place where folks are invited and welcomed and cleaned up and protected and provided for, because we don't know what down road looks like. And so while we're here, this is safe. And not just physically, but spiritually. You got questions? Ask them. You got issues? Let us help you deal with them. You got needs? Let us help you meet them. That's what the church is supposed to be. And that's why over and over and over we read in the New Testament about the power of hospitality. Because Paul understands that hospitality is a demonstration of the gospel message. Can you imagine having the gospel message perfectly in your hand or in your head or in your heart, and when somebody walked in, for you to not greet them warmly? It doesn't matter how great the gospel is, because they're not going to receive it. It doesn't matter how powerful the gospel is, because if we're rude with people, they're not going to receive it. And that's not to minimize the power of the gospel, but it is to maximize our role in demonstrating the gospel. Hospitality helped build the New Testament church. Every single church started in a home. It started because somebody said, "Y'all come here. Let me feed you. And let's do church." That's how the New Testament church began. When Jesus sends out the 72, He says, people are going to take care of you. And if they don't, dust off your shoes and go somewhere else. Hospitality reveals the gospel message. That's what's on the line. When you're kind with people in this building or out of this building, that's what's on the line. And I want you to know, y'all do it like nobody else has ever been around. I learned that here. There's a lot on the line. Greeting somebody at church, going over and smiling, it may sound practical. Doing the greeting on Sunday mornings sometimes seems hokey, right? But there's a lot more on the line than just the greeting. It's hospitality. And hospitality demonstrates the gospel. Hospitality reveals the gospel. Hospitality is mission. It is mission. It doesn't get you to mission. It is mission. It was through hospitality that the mission of Peter and Paul and others in the New Testament was supported. But that wasn't it. It was believers being hospitable with others and believers showing hospitality to non-believers that was part of the jet fuel that fueled the first century church. Governing authorities said about the church that it literally turned the world upside down. You know what part of that was? People saying, "Hey, y'all come home with me. Let me feed you. Let me take care of you." It's being hospitable, listening and caring for other people where walls that get built in our world today, and we got them, get knocked down. I'm talking about walls between people. I believe this and you believe that. We ain't never going to get along. It's hospitality that breaks those walls down. Were you ever wrong about somebody? You ever thought you knew a person and you had them pegged only to find out sometime later that you were wrong? I guarantee you nearly every time one of the things that broke that wall down was you getting to know the other person. It's hospitality. It's reception. It's doing relationships and doing life together, being with one another. That's when walls break. It's not just doing what I do and never looking around at who might be around me. from point A to point B to point C to point D, and that's all of life. That's not it. That's not it. We teach our kids to look both ways before they cross the street, right? Y'all remember Silas. He still struggles with that. But want to look both ways. Why we do that? We don't want to get hit by something. When we're around people, we ought to look several ways. Look up, right? God, what would you have me do in this moment? And look both ways and see who might be around us that we could carry with us. But those God moments happen constantly. They happen all the time. You're with people to show them that gratitude, to show them that grace. Hospitality is mission. It works for the mission within the body of Christ too, within the church itself. Loneliness should never be normal for believers. Loneliness should never be normal for a believer. And when it is, the church isn't being the church that it was meant to be. If you look around the 21st century church worldwide, there's a lot of believers that are lonely. Hospitality is good for me. And hospitality is good for you. I was reading somebody a couple weeks ago that I read occasionally. It's a scholar from a major theological university that said this: hospitality puts our lives and hearts on display. It's when we really care about people and look around us where we see our own pride, where we see our own sin clearly, where we confess and repent daily. It's where we seek good consciousness to hold material things lightly and people dearly. I think one of the lessons that I learned from biblical hospitality is to hold material things lightly and people dearly. You don't hear anything else I say. I want you to hear that. Those aren't my words. Hold material things lightly and people dearly. Hospitality is good for the giver because it puts our lives and hearts on display. It compels us to confess and repent, to live below our means, to build in margin of time for the unexpected needs of others. If you're going to be hospitable, if you take up this mantle, it means sometimes you can't plan for this. Because sometimes somebody just shows up at your house, don't they? Sometimes somebody just shows up at church. We care less about boundaries and how clean our carpet is in our living room and more about the church and the eternal state of our neighbors. Hospitality is certainly different today than it was in the biblical world. Technology is what it is, right? The world certainly is different today than it was then. I want you to know something. I believe this with every fiber of my being. Hospitality is still the call. The care for other people. Looking around you constantly, seeing who might be there, is still the call. The way we demonstrate that might change, but we still demonstrate it. Taking care of people in our village and out of the village is the call. Hospitality is ground zero of faith. Because to the level that you understand grace, and to the level that you understand that you once were a stranger, and God welcomed you in, is the same level that you will demonstrate this to other people. This is ground zero for faith. How we treat people, is a response to God. God cares for people. His followers care for people. Let's pray together. God, we're grateful that you took care of us when we were strangers. When we were stuck in sin, you gave us far more than we came with. So, Father, as a response to that, I pray that you would help us in our personal, individual lives and collectively in our congregational life. I pray that you would help us be hospitable. That we would be gracious with people. That we would help them with what they need. That we would help people find what they are looking for. God, that we would give them safety. The safety found in your Son. That we would help ease their fears. And by so doing, ease our own. God, we pray for your help. We freely admit that we need you, the author and perfecter. So we pray that you would bless us, that you would give us a conviction in our spirit, and that you would give us a mind to think practically about how we can do this increasingly more and more every day. We pray in the name of our Savior. Amen. We never close a time without offering an opportunity to respond. Maybe you're here tonight and something about hospitality got you thinking. God giving you far more than you came with. Maybe you need to respond to that message because you never have. If you're ready to begin your journey with Jesus, don't leave tonight without doing it. It's a great opportunity right now to do that. I know most of us have taken those steps. We've been baptized. We've confessed. We've done what we know to do. But maybe there's some conviction that you want to ask the shepherds here to pray for, that you want your brothers and sisters in Christ to know about so they can be praying about it. Maybe you can take care of it right where you are, because that's an option too. You don't have to come forward. You can take care of it right where you are, between you and the Lord. He'll hear every word. Do you know that? Every single word he'll hear. So if there's something that you want to say to him, say it. But if we can help you publicly in any way, we're ready to do it. Let us know how we can help you while together we stand and while we sing.